Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt.
Our guest is David Tensley, economist at National Australia Bank, on the line from London. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we have a couple of stories here this morning on the Bloomberg indicating a bailout and a possible change of government in Portugal. One of our stories says, for most of this month, traders wondered why the European Central Bank made little attempt to curb rising yields for the region's most indebted nations. Their conclusion is Portugal may be next to get a bailout. And there's a vote in the Portuguese parliament today about the deficit-cutting plan of the prime minister. How does all this play out?
Well, I think you're right. It does play out that a bailout for Portugal in the next couple of weeks looks quite a likely scenario. It seems, by all accounts, because it's a minority government in Portugal, their fiscal plans for cutting their deficit are likely to be voted down in the next few days. And that's likely to see then a fall in that government. And that will be then make it quite difficult, I think, for the Portuguese government to go to the market and raise further funds to cover their debt. So I think all in all, it does point to a bailout. I mean, many people were expecting in the market a bailout for Portugal back in January or February. So they've done quite well to survive this long, but it does look like it's finally coming.
Well, if there is a Portuguese bailout, is that going to be the end of it? The end of the sovereign debt crisis?
What is it? It's not the end of the sovereign debt crisis. There's a leaders' meeting and the European Union meeting at the end of this month that is meant to put the rubber stamp, if you like, on a set of reforms of the bailout proposals we've had to date. It may not be that we see some of the bigger countries, such as Spain, going for a formal bailout, but the risks will still be out there, I think, for the next couple of years, because we've still got... Obviously, these programs they're announcing are going to roll on for a couple of years, and there's a lot of implementation risk in whether or not they're able to pull the fiscal cutbacks off that they're planning. So I think they're still ongoing, I think.
Well, the market apparently is betting the European Central Bank will push interest rates higher possibly as soon as next month. So how do you work that into the forecast?
Well, that's certainly the case that we do see that coming, that ECB rate rise. And it's not something that the southern European states, the Portugals, the Italys, for that matter, or even the Irish, will be looking for. But the thing you have to remember, of course, is that core Europe, Germany, France, Netherlands, Austria, is really growing pretty fast. And there are signs of wage pressures gathering momentum there. So... really and truly, the ECB has a set policy for the bulk of the Eurozone, and that does suggest that a rate rise is the right thing to do.
David, if there weren't enough news out of Europe this morning, we have this story. Europe's banking system would need as much as 250 billion euros, or 355 billion U.S., of new capital if faced with a sharp increase in yields and a severe economic contraction, without defining exactly what sharp and severe would mean. It's a pretty safe bet that rates are going up, though, right?
That's right. I mean, I don't think anyone is expecting a sharp increase, not in core yields. Of course, as we were speaking about before the break, some of the yields for the peripheral European countries, such as Portugal, are moving quite sharply. So I think the focus remains really on the banking sectors of those countries in particular. And those problems, while they're large, are probably containable as long as they don't spread and spill over too much into the bigger economies, financial sectors, I'd suggest.
Okay, well, when you look at the combination here of a credit tightening by the European Central Bank and the problems we were talking about with Portugal, what's Portugal going to have to pay to borrow?
Well, it's currently paying... In excess, I believe, of the 7%, which is often cited as the sort of level where countries need to consider bailouts from the Eurozone facilities. So I think on that score, in terms of borrowing costs, it's almost a done deal that they should go for a bailout, because the current rates of borrowing are, the yields on them are unsustainable.
Does the Bank of England follow closely the European Central Bank?
Well, not really in so far as the Bank of England will set its policy, its own policy for the UK economy as it sees it. But I think right now, the risks facing the economies are pretty similar. People are worried about, both central banks are worried about inflation, the effect of commodity and oil price hikes on the headline rates of inflation, and the prospect that might spill over into more medium-term inflation remaining high. And so I think the Bank of England, too, is looking to raise rates sometime this year, possibly as early as May, possibly a little bit later. The UK economy is still pretty fragile, so they have to tread pretty carefully as well.
David Tensley, economist at National Australia Bank in London.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene and listen to Bloomberg The First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2011 Bloomberg LP.